podcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program today. We welcome you. We pray that you're having a wonderful, wonderful day. This is my last opportunity to invite you to our Christmas dinner at Merritt Assembly of God. If you're part of our radio congregation, we'd love to have you come and join us, be a part of it. It's a absolutely free event. If you want to come, all we ask is that you would RSVP. You can send us an email. Call us 321-454-4263. Let us know on Facebook. However, all of the messages that come on Facebook, they come to my phone. Emails come to my phone. The messages on the answering machine, it's too late to mail something if you were wanting to RSVP. But Sunday night at 6:30, we're going to be having our event. You see, when we came to Merritt Assembly of God 26 years ago, so this is our 27th Christmas dinner, that first Christmas dinner included the four people in my family. It included one lady and one child from the church, and they didn't eat. They were just there. It involved, I believe, a Publix chicken, some fried chicken, and we were all able to meet in just a very, very small area. That's what our first Christmas dinner looked like. And, you know, our first few Sundays, we had six people, then we had five, then we had four, plus my family. And so we like to have this as an opportunity to say thank you to our congregation for all of their hard work. Thank them for being a part of Merritt Assembly of God. And if you listen to the radio program, we consider you part of the family as well. And if you'd like to come and be a part of that, just let us know. We will make sure that there's a seat at the table for you. Today, we want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. They've done a lot of work through the years at Merritt Assembly of God. They've done work this past year there as well. And they always do a great job and very professional. And they will do a great job for you. You need somebody with expertise who knows how to handle it, who knows the people who can do the great job for them. And so if you need block work, if you need concrete work, give them a call. A lot of times there's some downtime during this holiday season for construction workers, so you might be able to get a hold of them and get them out to do your project a little quicker this time of the year than you can if you wait until everybody else decides that they need something done as well. I do know that I talked to a contractor in a different field, and he said, "Pastor, there is still a lot of construction going on." He was describing all of the different projects that he had going on because there is just so many people who are building undeveloped areas that are being developed. The last time I was down at the Vieira area, I was amazed to see how much construction was going on in that area. Drive to Titusville, construction going on up there. Drive up US-1 up through North Cocoa, construction everywhere. Now, I just assume Palm Bay and Melbourne are the same way. I don't get down there very much, if you could use a concrete and block team, give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. What we have been talking about here for the past several weeks is we have been going through the Sermon on the Mount. We came to the Lord's Prayer. We have now been looking at this concept of the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And a lot of times we pray that from a distance, but we want the will of God to be done universally. But the place that it actually needs to start is the will of God needs to be something that we embrace personally. We would find that we are a lot more effective if we embrace the will of God for our person, and then watch how God uses his will to impact our community than we are to start far away and then pray that it somehow migrates towards us. I was communicating with someone here recently, and I was describing how some of the things that transpired in my past, I had no indication at the time how influential and instrumental they were in getting me to where the will of God would take my wife and I for these past 26 years. What we thought were setbacks were actually setups. So don't allow your perspective, your feelings, your emotions to derail what God might have planned, because he, this is one of my favorite sayings, he sets his children up to succeed. So with that being said, we're going to go to 1 Peter today. We're going to pretty much finish up in 1 Peter. We're going to be in verse number 12 of chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. And it says this. By the way, I'm on the last few weeks of using this very trusty sword that I have had. It's got my name engraved on it. I don't know if I marked on here the year my wife gave it to me. I do not. But she gave it to me for Christmas several years ago, and people make fun of it because it has really large print. Not because I need the print to be that large for me to see it. I just like to preach from a Bible that I can hold in my hands, and I know where the passage is, and I can find it very quickly, because I don't preach constantly looking down at my Bible. I like to make eye contact with people. And so I've requested a new sword for Christmas in a new Bible, and so I'm looking forward to being able to wear this one out and start in on a new one. Verse number 12, 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody, or in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. Now, I will just say this. Nobody likes to suffer. I don't enjoy suffering. You know, a lot of people live with the mindset that if I'm going to suffer, everybody's going to suffer. Nobody really likes to suffer. Nobody likes to get in trouble for misbehavior. And the Bible here says that there is no glory in suffering for violating the law of God. Verse number 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. And we need to remember that at times. I had a situation at one point in time, and I was dealing with a person, and they had done some things that were pretty seriously wrong. And, you know, God's a forgiving God. And but they didn't see any problem with the suffering, even though they had done things that they shouldn't have done. They thought that it was okay, that it was going to enhance their testimony. I want you to know that that's not the way we want to enhance our testimony. We want to enhance our testimony by doing what is right in a fallen world, and how people respond to us doing right in a fallen world, that's on them, but we should not be giving them ammunition for making claims against God because of our behavior. Okay, a lot of people look at the things that Christians do badly, and they automatically attribute that as representative of God's behavior. So I don't want to be a stumbling block on someone's spiritual journey. I want to live my life right. I want to be a messenger of truth. I want to be a person who conducts himself in the right manner. And therefore, if I suffer, I don't want it to be because I had violated the law of God. I just don't want that to be the case. So, but the truth of the matter is that there are going to be times, because we do live in this fallen society, that we do things the right way, and yet society doesn't respond well to it, and we end up suffering because of that. We've talked about that on previous broadcasts. What is our response to that situation going to be? How are we going to navigate those waters? And that's what we're going to talk about here on today's program. Verse number 14, let me say this. Verse number 13 says, "Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings." So when we are suffering for doing what Christ has commanded us to do, we don't have to regret it. We don't have to complain about it. We don't have to moan about it. God is fully aware of it. And instead, we get to rejoice. You know, the disciples at one point in time found themselves commanded by Jesus to cross a sea. And in the midst of their journey, there was a storm that came up on the sea. And the first thing they said is, "Don't you care? We're going to die, and you don't care." And what they didn't realize is that Jesus was about to demonstrate to them that he had the ability to calm any storm. I do love that Christian song that says sometimes he calms the storms and sometimes he calms his child. Something along those lines. And so I don't complain when I'm doing the will of God. I rejoice in that I'm suffering for the sake of Christ. Not because of the suffering, but because of whom I'm suffering for. So let's try and wean ourselves off of the complaining mode. Okay? I believe that Christians are supposed to be known for their rejoicing much more than their complaining. So verse number 14 then says this: "If you are reproached, if you are suffering for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." This is a promise from heaven that says if you are doing what I have commanded you, and this world is lashing out at you, if the devil is fighting hard against you, then what you need to realize is that God has a special gift for you and I. The grace of God is not just, the way of salvation. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is not just the unmerited favor of God in good times, but it is the favor of God even when we are being, even when we are suffering for Christ's sake. He said, here's the promise, here's the reality that you need to be aware of. And listen, this is not theoretical. This is Christianity during a time of persecution. He said, when this is happening, you are not cursed, you're blessed. He said, here's why I say that: because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Many people said, "Man, I pray that persecution never breaks out in my lifetime because I would never be able to stand up under it." I've got news for it. None of us can stand up under it in our own strength. But God says, when you are being persecuted for my name's sake, I am going to make sure that my Spirit of glory, and the Spirit of God, that it rests upon you. That's how Stephen could stand up when he was being stoned and say, I see the heavens opened. I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. And he could say, Father, don't lay this sin to their account. Don't lay it to their charge. Don't hold it against them. How can you do that? The only way that you can do that is if the presence of God is with you when you're in the fire as well. Daniel found him in the den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found him when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And you and I will find that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. If it's a good time, if it's a challenging time, don't worry about that. Say, God, I just want to thank you right now. By faith, I know that you are here with me, and this is going to be a glorious encounter. I was talking with someone recently, and they were talking about martyrs for Christ, and they said, can you imagine the crown that is going to be presented to those who are martyred for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Said, that is going to be an amazing, amazing crown. I just know this. I'm not going to abandon God in the good times, and he's not going to abandon me in the challenging times. And I'm not going to abandon him in the challenging times, because we're in it for the glory of God. He says, on their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. You and I, when we are being persecuted for being in the will of God, it is very much like the two thieves on the cross, where one of them said, hey, get yourself down from there and get us down. And the other guy said, look, we deserve to be here, but you don't. And they realized, the centurion, when he saw the way Jesus died versus the way that other people died, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. There's a glorious thing. However people are responding, and you will find that the scriptures talk about people getting drunk on the blood of the saints. They lose their sensibilities. They lose their rationalities. They begin to do things that they ordinarily wouldn't do. And so you and I, we don't revert or take on their responses. We have to say, you know what? We're going to glorify God in this situation. I don't know what he's going to do in this, but I know it's going to be something glorious. Verse number 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? This is something that we don't like to hear talked about very much. We see all of the problems with society, and we think, we've got a lot less severe problems than they do. But God doesn't start with them. He starts with his kids. I don't know if you've ever been a parent and your kids were with other kids and the group did something, and you might not have been able to discipline the entire group, but you could speak correction into your children's life. Well, that's what God does. And I will tell you that through the years, I have had God deal with me with a corrective tone. And I tell the story about this time, and God convicted me of something. He wanted to speak correction into my life, and it wasn't something that I thought was a very large thing. It didn't seem significant to me. And I said, look, God, there are so many people, and they are out there doing so many terrible things. And here, this vindictive thought or whatever it was, I don't even remember what it was at that point in time, comes across my mind, and you correct me about that. What is up with that? And he said, is that really the way that you want me to operate in your life? You don't want me to deal with the small things. You want me to wait until they're really large, until it's threatening our relationship? Is that really the way that you want me to? handle correction in your life? And I said, no, God, I repent. I would much rather have you speak to me in your still small voice than wait for a full display of the wrath of God. And so when God deals with you, let's not fight it. Let's not fight him. Let's thank him. He loves those that he disciplines. He disciplines those that he loves. And we need to thank God that he's not going to allow any sin to take a foothold in our life or grab a piece of our heart real estate, if you will, so that the root of bitterness grows down and the root of trouble goes down. I don't want those things in my life. And so we need to thank God whenever he corrects us. But the reality is, judgment day is coming for the world. It says, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? If you're listening to my voice and you've not said yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know this is a time of mercy. This is a time of opportunity. But just like Jesus told Jerusalem, you need to appreciate the day of visitation that you have, because there is a day that is coming where every sin, every unrighteous act is going to be dealt with. And you don't want to be in line for that. You want to have a good relationship with your advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who represents you before the throne of God. And he can say, Father, forgive them. I shed my blood for them. They have asked me to forgive them and to be the Lord of their life. And we have blotted those acts out of their record. That's the representation that we want to have. Verse number 19 says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So if we were going to, you know, sum up, how do you respond when you are suffering for doing exactly what God told you to do? First of all, you rejoice. Second, you realize, that was in verse 13. Second, you realize in verse number 14 that it's indicative that you are blessed and not cursed. That means that God sees some maturity in us. Third, you realize and acknowledge that the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you during that time. He's not abandoning you during that time of persecution. And the fourth thing would be this. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good. Don't stop doing good. Do it as to a faithful creator. Fixate on the faithfulness of God. I cannot tell you how many times I have dealt with people who forget the faithfulness of God. They allow the problems to obscure the vision that they had of a faithful God, and they begin to think that God is not faithful. Listen, I've had a lot of things that didn't go my way, but there's not been anything that God has ever orchestrated in my life that didn't go God's way. And God is faithful. God is faithful. He has taken some of the worst things that have happened to my family and turned them around as ministry opportunities. So I encourage you to do this. Commit your soul to him. You know what Daniel was doing before they threw him into the den of lions? He was praying. He was praying that day just the way he had prayed any other day. He prayed when it was permitted. He was prayed when some people used some legal wranglings and maneuverings to ban prayer, and then when he prayed, they persecuted him for it. But when he got into the den of lions, he found that there was an angel that was there, and he did two things. He kept Daniel company, and he shut the mouths of the very ravenous lions. All you got to do is read the rest of the story to find out just exactly how hungry they were. because the king decided, you know what? I don't need people in my kingdom who are going to attack my most faithful advisors and counselors and people who are a benefit to me, and he purged them out of his kingdom. Today, commit your soul to him. Commit your mind, your will, your emotions, commit your spirit to him. Commit your finances to him and say, God, I'm going to embrace your will in my life. And if I get in trouble for doing the right thing, if I get in trouble for doing the good thing, if I get in trouble for doing the God thing, I'm going to commit myself to you because you're a faithful creator. A favorite verse of mine is, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We live in a day and time, I probably close with this today, but we live in a day and time where commitment is a scary word, where people are not wanting to get married because they're afraid of the commitment. But I want you to know today that God is committed to you. And he's not looking for a relationship of convenience. He's not looking for a one-night stand. He's not looking to have an encounter with you, and then you say, well, don't you remember that time? What he's looking for is he's looking for a committed covenant relationship with us that no matter what happens, whether persecution comes or whether it doesn't, that he knows that we're going to walk with him. He's going to walk with us. We're not going to abandon him, and he is most certainly not going to abandon you. If you are going through a difficult time today, I pray for you today that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory will rest upon you and that you will have a marvelous, marvelous Christmas season. Father, I just pray for everybody that's listening. Lord, nobody likes to go through persecution. Nobody likes to suffer. But Lord, I pray that those who are experiencing great attack right now, that you would be with them. And Lord, that we would rejoice. We would recognize we're blessed that you're with us. And Lord, we commit ourselves to your faithfulness today in Jesus' name. See you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. But now